to live in a free country, free to worship God, freedom to meet, freedom to assemble, freedom to come together, to worship as families. There are so many people in this world today that live in captivity, that live underneath dictatorships, that live in fear. That's why we set aside a day to remember those who gave their lives so we can meet like we do today and have the freedoms that we do today. I want to talk to you. I hope that you take time out of this weekend. I know it's unofficial start of summer. I know a lot of people are at the lakes, and I know a lot of people are out celebrating. I know a lot of people will be huddled around their TVs this afternoon watching the Indianapolis 500. But in lieu of all that, I hope that some people realize the sacrifice that was made so they can do that. And so take some time out of this weekend and just to reflect on that one thought of those that sacrifice themselves so that we can do just this. I want to talk to you today about the grace to serve. God has called all of us to serve. If you are a Christian, you are called to serve. God called you to serve. And a lot of times we go through life and we think, you know, about serving Christ. We want to do sometimes, we want to do things. And sometimes we just, you know, kind of shy away from serving. But I want to talk about that when we do serve, that God gives us the grace to do so. That we're always called to give out God's grace to others, to show God's grace to others, to tell other people about God's grace. And one of the ways that we do that is through serving Him. And when we talk about that, and sometimes we get fear, we get timid, and we back off from serving God. But I want to encourage you today, I'm here to tell you that God gives us the grace to serve. And I want to share some scripture verses with you today and to look at grace to serve. But first off, I want to talk to you today about the fears of serving. We are all afraid sometimes to serve, and I want to talk about these fears. A lot of times we had the fear when we talk about serving, we think, I can't do that. And we think about that and we think, well, you know, I really can't do that. I can't get up and speak in front of a whole lot of people. Or I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. Or I don't have the ability. I just can't do that. You know, Bible says in Philippians, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can serve through Christ because Christ gives us the grace to serve. See, a lot of times we are afraid because we don't realize that the grace that God gives us to serve. We forget about the fact that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Second thing, we sometimes say this, I shouldn't do it. Somebody else can do it. I shouldn't do it. Let somebody else do that. A lot of times, you know, not only do we feel like we can't do it, a lot of times we say, well, we'll just let somebody else do that. I don't need to do it. See, a lot of times I found out, you know, people always come to me and say, Pastor, I think we need to do this. I think we should have this ministry. I think we should do this. I think we should reach out that way. And I usually ask them, I said, okay, when do you want to start? And they look at me and say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm just bringing you an idea. I'm not going to, I don't want to do it. Somebody else can do it. I'm just bringing you an idea. You know, a lot of times what I found out is that sometimes God shows you a need that needs to be done or a task that needs to be done. A lot of times God shows you that because you're the instrument, you're the person God wants to use to accomplish that. And a lot of times we back away and we say, let somebody else do it when God wants you to do it. And we say, I shouldn't do that. And yet you should do that. Thirdly, we may think, well, I will fail. I'm going to fail at what I'm doing. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to mess everything up. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall flat on my face. But I want to tell you something. You may fall flat on your face. You may fail. But at least you're doing something. You're attempting to do something for Christ and for God. And let me tell you something. When you're in God's will and you're doing what God wants you to do, you're not going to fail. Because God's in it, and He's going to lift you up. He's going to hold you up. He's going to keep you going. He's going to supply all of your needs. He's going to give you the strength to do it. He's going to give you the ability to do it. Let me tell you something. If you make yourself available, God's going to take care of everything else. He's going to give you the ability to do it. He's going to supply the needs to do it. That's what Philippians 1:19 says. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. God's going to supply all your needs. And when you're in God's will, you're not going to fail. Because God's going to lift you up. And He's going to supply your needs. And that's when I'm not worthy. A lot of times we think we're not worthy. Well, I'll mess my life up. God's never going to use me. I'm messed up. I said, you know, God's not going to use me. I felt that way one time. I ran for God for 20 years, thinking I messed my life up. God's not never going to use me. And I remember sitting down with a pastor when God started working with me again and getting myself straightened up. I remember sitting down with the pastor and I asked him, I said, Pastor, he says, can God still use me? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, if God called you, He still wants you. And He still needs you. You know what? One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Philippians 1:6. Where it says, Paul says, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion until the day of our Lord. You know what that verse tells me? He says, that verse tells me never give up on God because God doesn't give up on you. And that's a wonderful truth. There's one point in my life where I gave up on God, but I'm so, so glad God never gave up on me. You see, God, you may think you messed your life up. We're going to look at a guy here in just a minute. I thought he messed his life up. But he became a powerful church leader and a powerful witness for Christ. But I know what it all boils down to. When you look at these four things, you can always boil it down into one statement. And that statement is, I do not want to get out of my comfort zone. I'm happy where I'm at. I'll tell you something, all four of those lies are from Satan himself. He'll use those lies to get you into your comfort zone. And when he gets you into your comfort zone and you get all relaxed, then he can just lull you to sleep. And that's exactly where he wants you at. And that's exactly where the church is today. The church has been got too comfortable. And Satan's lulled us to sleep. And I'm not talking about just this church, but churches in general, in this country, Satan has lulled so many of them to sleep by making them feel comfortable where they're at and not wanting to do anything else. Just to come to church on Sunday mornings, put a dollar in the offering plate, then that's it for the rest of the week. Not doing anything else for God. I'm good. Then when God comes and wants to do something, they said, nope, not us. Let somebody else do it. I'm comfortable. We're comfortable where we're at. And that's where Satan wants the church. And that's where he wants you. We need people today that'll stand forth and to come forth and to serve God and to take a stand for God. We need leaders today that'll serve and take a stand for God. Our world, if you notice, our country is full of leaders. We have leaders coming out of our ears. We got so many leaders. But one thing that we do not have is godly leaders. We need godly leaders that'll stand up and serve and allow God to give them the grace to serve. God needs you to serve. And I'm here to tell you today that God will give you the grace to serve if you just make yourself available and be ready to serve when God calls upon you to do so. But we all like to be in our comfort zone. But it's time that we get out of our comfort zone and to step out on faith and do what God wants us to do and to serve where God wants us to serve. In just a few weeks, we're going to have mission teams galore coming into this church. I think 5 weeks in a row, we got mission teams coming in. You know, some of them, they had to step out of their comfort zone to come here. I mean, there's always three or four. I always talk to at least three or four of them that said, man, this is the first time I ever done something like this. And I was unsure about it. And they had to step out of their comfort zone to come here to serve. What about you? I mean, me and TB, we've been dreaming up dreams and stuff about future here and ways to get people to serve more in this church. And you're going to be hearing more and more about those things here in future weeks from Brother TB. But we need people to serve. But I want us to look at Peter here. And I want to concentrate here on a few verses. And I know in John chapter 21, we're going to look at verses 15 through 17 here. And I know this is a wonderful story of Peter. And Peter, you know, if you go back a little bit before in this story, you know, Peter was this brave guy, proud guy. And one day him and Jesus was having a discussion. And Jesus told Peter, he says, you're going to, before the rooster crows three times, he said, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, No way, Lord, am I going to deny you three times? He says, I'll die for you. I'm going to go with you through thick and thin. He said, no way am I going to deny you. But then we come a couple of chapters more in John, and we find out that they arrest Jesus. Peter follows Jesus a little bit to where they took Jesus to the high priest's house. And there in the courtyard, while Peter was standing there trying to warm himself in the fire, somebody comes up to Peter and says, hey, you know, weren't you with Jesus? Wasn't you with him? And Peter says, no, not me. And then somebody else comes to Peter and asks him the same thing. And Peter says, no, I wasn't with him. Then a third person comes, asks the same thing, and Peter says, no, I was not with, I don't even know the man. And the Bible says, just then, Peter's and Jesus' eyes locked together. And it says that Peter went out, and in Luke's gospel, in Luke's version of it, it said Peter went out and wept bitterly. Cried his heart out because he realized what he did. And Peter had to live with that. And he could feel the pain and the anguish in Peter's heart. And he probably thought, when we come to chapter 21, you probably think that Peter probably thought, I done messed my life up. I'm not going to be worth anything anymore. Jesus is not going to have anything to do with me. I denied him 3 times just like he said. He said, I might as well go back to fishing. You look at verse 1 and 2 there of John chapter 21. Peter tells the rest of the disciples, "See, I'm going to go back to fishing." He said, there's nothing more for me to do now except go back to go fishing. And while they were out on that fishing boat, they didn't catch a thing. And the next morning, there was Jesus standing there on the seashore, had a fire going, had breakfast cooking for him, and he yells out to him, he said, hey guys, you caught anything? He said, no. He said, cast your net on the other side. And they did. And I think Peter and John's thoughts went back to that first day they ever met Jesus, when Jesus told them the same thing, cast your nets on the other side. And Jesus called them to follow him. And when they cast their nets on that other side, so they begin to haul in more fish than they can handle. And something clicked in John's head. He probably remembered that first time they saw Jesus and what had happened that first time. And John looked over at Peter and said, Peter, it's the Lord. And it says, and Peter jumped in the water. He swam to shore. He didn't wait for the rest of them to come. And I can imagine that awkward moment when Peter comes on that shore. And there he's facing Jesus. And I kind of get the picture that it, down deep inside, probably Peter wanted to run up and wrap his arms around Jesus. But, what I say, what I do, I mess my life up. What's Jesus going to say to me? What is he going to do to me? And Jesus eats fish with them. And then we come to verse 15. And I know there have been 100 sermons about the words that are used here for the word love and everything. But I want to take this from a different angle here. But I'd like to read these verses just for a moment here. Verses 15 through 17. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me more than these? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, love you me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, love you me? And he said unto the Lord, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And Jesus welcomed Peter back into the fold. And the first thing I want you to look at here is how is it possible that God can use us? And you look at the slides up there, I know you're going to get a kick out of Adam and Haley and Ariel and some of the other ones, kids from the camp that I work with. I'll put their picture up there on purpose. But first thing is, Jesus always restores. He restored Peter back into himself. And the first place that you need to come to in order for God to use you and for order for you. Is the fact that God always restores. He restored Peter, and Peter became a great church leader and a giant in the Christian faith and a martyr for the Christian faith. And let me tell you something. The first step in learning to serve is to realize that restoration comes first. If you're here today, you're without Christ. You need to let Christ restore you to Him. You see, when you're without Christ, you have sin in your life. And the Bible says that you're part of this world. When you're without Christ, you're in this world. You're part of this world. And when you're without Christ, there's no hope of heaven for you. The only place you're going to is going to hell. And I'm a preacher that tells it like it is. You know, a lot of preachers today don't speak on hell or speak on sin. But if it's in the Bible, I'm going to talk about it because I'm going to warn people all I can so they don't go there. But if you're here today without Christ, the first step into serving Christ is to restore yourself to Him, to come to ask Christ into your heart, to ask Christ for forgiveness of your sins. And invite Him to come into your life and be Lord of your life. And you may be here today and you think, well, I messed my life up. Yes, I'm saved, but I traveled down a different road. I messed my life up. Let me tell you something. God's still in the restoring business. And just like He restored Peter, He can restore you into a fellowship with Him. Why? Because I know He did it with me. And God can restore you to bring about to serve Him once again. Not only does Jesus always restore, but Jesus always empowers. And you notice three times here, He tells Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He tells Peter that. You know, God's not going to call you without giving you the ability to do it. He's always going to empower you. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul tells Timothy that God has not given him a spirit of timidity, but He's given him a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. That word power there in 2 Timothy is the Greek word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. And you all know how powerful dynamite is. And Paul is telling Timothy that God didn't give him a spirit of timidity to be timid. He said God gave you a spirit of power, of love, of a sound mind. Sometimes we forget that. And we shrink ourselves back as a church, or we shrink ourselves back as Christians because we're afraid of being politically correct. Or we're afraid of we might offend somebody. But Paul tells Timothy, God's given us a spirit of power. We don't have to shrink back. He's given us a spirit of love and of sound mind. Also, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to enable us to accomplish what God has called us to do or what God is calling you to do. You have the Holy Spirit within you. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in you to enable you to do what God wants you to do. And a lot of times what the Bible says and what Paul says, we grieve the Holy Spirit because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, to enable us to do what God wants us to do. Because it all goes back. We're in our comfort zone. We're okay. Holy Spirit, I don't need you. I'm good right here. I don't need to go halfway around the world to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, a lot of times we don't need to go halfway around the world to tell somebody about Jesus. Sometimes God just wants us to go across the street to tell somebody about Jesus. But we're too timid and shy to even do that. But God has given us the power to do that. Not only does He always restores, not only does He always empower, but Jesus calls us. Jesus is still in the calling business. You know, a lot of our seminaries across the board, seminary enrollment is declining. Every year, their attendance is in. Students are declining more and more each year because nobody is healing or heeding the call of Christ or God in their lives. We're all too busy doing other things, and we're not listening to God's call upon our lives. But Jesus still calls. If you go to Luke chapter 5, verse 11, where Jesus is still calling Peter and James and John. And he says that when Jesus passed by, he called out to them while they were mending their nets. He called out to them and said, "Follow me." It says they dropped everything, they forsook everything, and they followed him. We need to have the same attitude today that when God calls us to do something, we shouldn't question God, we should just do it. But you know what we do? Most of the time we form committees to figure out what we should do, where we should do it, how much money can we spend to do it, what should we do here, what should we do there, or what should we do this. And we spend all of our time trying to figure things out instead of doing what God wants us to do in the first place. And oftentimes I found out if God calls somebody to do something, if they end up not doing it, God's going to get somebody else to do it. But we need to be ready to do what God wants us to do because God is calling. Do you hear His call today in your life? Maybe some of you today have been struggling with that. Maybe you know that God's been calling you to do something and you've been fighting God. You've been fighting the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, you can continue to do that, but it's often nice to come and just let God have His way and be like Isaiah says, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me, use me." See, not only does God restore, not only does He empowers us. Not only does He call us, but here's the neatest thing. God can use anybody. God can use anybody. It doesn't make any difference how old you are, how young you are, how handicapped you are, or who you are, what color of skin you are, what country you come from, what nationality you are. God can use you. He can use anybody. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. I want to read this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 11, Paul says this, and I love this. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." time I read that, I just want to go, woo! I like that. You look at the Apostle Paul, and you look at his past, and sometimes, you know, we look at our past and say, God never used us because of who I was. It doesn't make any difference. You come to Christ, and you accept Christ as your Savior, and you ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, Christ's going to wipe your past out. Because you're a new creation in Him, and that's how God can use you. But you look at Paul, he persecuted the church. He had Christians thrown in prison. Before he became Paul, he was Saul, and he had people thrown in prison. He had Christians murdered. He had, you know, he was just a heavily persecutor. But on the road to Damascus one day, he met Jesus. Changed his life forever. And Paul said this, he said, that's why he says, I'm the least among the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted. But, I love that word in the Bible, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. Let me tell you something, by the grace of God, you are who you are. And God can use you exactly the way He made you. And He made you exactly the way He wanted to make you because He has a specific job that He wants you to do. And only you can do it. And let me tell you something. God doesn't make any junk. With me, He came close. But God doesn't make any junk. And Paul says this because he says, because of that grace which was bestowed upon me, it was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Not I, but the grace of God. God gave him the grace to serve. And God can give you that same kind of grace that he gave Paul to serve. Tell you a story. I want to end this. I want to share this one thing with you. That God often uses people with simple faith to accomplish His great purposes, no matter what kind of past thing they have had or how insignificant they seem to be. God always uses people like that. I want to share a couple of stories with you in closing. One of them I want to tell you about. A guy I went to college with at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. His name was Walter Ferguson. Walter Ferguson had cerebral palsy. He could walk. He walked with a limp. And he had a really bad speech impediment. You couldn't hardly understand a word Walter could say, but he'd come to college there, and we all thought Walter was crazy for coming to college, because Walter would always tell us, he said, God called me to preach, and I'm going to preach, and I'm not making fun of Walter or anything, but that's about the way he talked, and we all thought, man, God made a mistake. There's no way Walter going to become a preacher. So, I mean, people are not going to be able to understand him. And we would tell Walter that. He said, I don't care. He said, God called me to preach, and I'm going to preach. And Walter went, and he was A and B student. I mean, mostly all A's. And one day, Walter shocked us all. We were sitting up in the bleachers watching a basketball game. Our college guys was playing some other team, and the cheerleaders were down there cheerleading. And they had one girl down there, and her, I can't even remember what her name is right now, but she's a very beautiful young girl there. And one day Walter looked, we were sitting there, Walter was sitting beside us, and Walter said, I'm going to marry that girl one of these days. And we all looked over at Walter and said, what are you talking about, Walter? He said, I'm going to marry that girl. I said, who? And he pointed down there to that girl. And we all said, Walter, you're crazy. That girl ain't going to never marry you. Say, you can't even talk right. So how's that girl going to marry you? And every one day we're sitting there in breakfast in the cafeteria, and we're sitting there with Walter, and Walter said, "I'm going to go up and ask that girl to marry me." And I said, we all said, "What?" And before we could sit Walter back down, he had got up and he walked over to the table where that girl was. She was sitting over there with a bunch of other girls. And Walter walked up there to her and he said, "Will you go out with me?" And she looked at him and she said, "No." So Walter came back and sat down. We thought, you know, going to break Walter's heart. But you know, the next day Walter did the same thing. And the next day Walter did the same thing. And on that third time, that girl said, "I really appreciate it, you asking me out. But until you can ask me out right and I can understand you, then I'll go out with you." And she probably thought Walter would never be able to do that. But us guys were listening in on the conversation and we took it up as a challenge. And we began to work with Walter to get him through to learn how to say, "Will you go out with me?" And we began to work on Walter with a daily basis, and finally he got it good enough to where he could say it as plain as day, "Will you go out with me?" And finally the day arrived at breakfast. And Walter walked up to her and he said, "Will you go out with me?" And she had this shocked look on her face, and she looked at him and she said, "What did you say?" He said, "Will you go out with me?" She said, "That's wonderful." He said, "Can you say anything else?" She said, "No, but I'm working on it." But I want you to know, they went out. And not only did they go out one time, but they went out a lot of times. And she began to work with Walter too. And lo and behold, what we thought would never happen, we thought Walter would never pass speech class. But Walter passed speech class. And not only did they continue to go out, but they ended up getting married. And Walter became a successful pastor there in Springfield, Missouri. If God could use Walter, he can use any of you. You see, it doesn't make any difference. God can use you if you just put forth the effort and do it. One last story. A friend of mine told me this, Malcolm Richard. He was doing a revival at a church. And he says, after he spoke on serving God, and he says, during the invitation, said the pastor gave the invitation, he says, and said, "I was sitting there on the front pew." Malcolm said, "I was praying, and the pastor was, you know, leading the invitation." He says, they heard a scuffle and a rumble back in the back part of the church. And he said, "I turned around and looked." Says, "Here come a guy down the aisle." Said he was in a wheelchair. He said he didn't have any legs. Said he found out later he is a Vietnam veteran, lost both of his legs in the Vietnam War. And he says he came down and he took the pastor by the hand. And he said with tears in his eyes, he looked up at the pastor. He said, "Pastor, can God use a half a man?" He said the pastor looked down at him and said, "Yes, sir. God can even use a half a man." And he said the pastor looked out over the audience and said, "God can use a fully dedicated half man, but God cannot use a halfway dedicated whole man." And that's so true. God needs people to serve him today. God needs people to be fully dedicated to him today in order to serve. Maybe you're in that boat. Maybe you've been all just halfway dedicated. Maybe you've just been sitting on the shoreline sticking your toe in the water just to see if it was cold or lukewarm or hot or whatever. Maybe it's time to immerse your whole self into God's service. Whatever the cause, maybe God is calling some of you today to do something specific, and you may not know all the details of it yet, but that's okay. You just come to God and say, I'm ready. I'm here. Because when you surrender yourself, God will take you one step at a time to get you where you want to be. I remember all the years that I've struggled and I ran away from God. I remember pastoring a little church, my first pastor, a little church over in Hicksville, Ohio. And when Brother TB was our director of missions then, he came out to that church to see me. And I remember we were walking around the outside of the building. I mean, the building, the roof was like this, and we were looking at all, I mean, paint peeling off the side of the building. I mean, the building was horrible shape. And I remember we talking about that, and I remember Brother TB looking at me. He says, you know, he said, I really admire you for the passion that you have for ministry and for the work you're doing at Hicksville and taking this church to where it was just about to close its doors and building it back up again. And I told him, I said, Brother TB, I'm not one to be admired. I said, if I would have done what God wanted me to do 20 years ago, I said, no telling where I'd be at. And Brother TB looked at me, he said, I'd know exactly where you'd be at. And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, I'd be at First Baptist Church of Hicksville, Ohio. And he said, exactly. And I said, boy, I sure took the long road to getting here. But let me tell you something. If God can use somebody like me, God can use you. You just have to be willing to serve, willing to surrender. And when you're willing to serve and you surrender your life to Him, God will give you the grace, just like He did Paul. He'll give you the grace to serve Him and to do what He wants you to do. Let's pray. Dearly Father.